Welcome to a Tuesday morning in the great city of Atlanta. My name is Steak. That's Sandra, the longest-running sports talk radio host in town. Continue to hopefully deliver a great 2 hours. 2 hours. 100 and now, what do we got? 15 minutes to entertain you. Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager of the Atlanta Braves, will join us at 10 a.m. Good time to do so as they have found their way above 500 for the first time all season. Woo-hoo! And Spencer Strider is back tonight. And the All-Star game is not far off here in the ATL. And Ronald Acuna is going to be on his way back. And all kinds of stuff. Haven't talked to Alex really over the last couple of months. So he'll join us at 10 o'clock. And that's just one of many things planned as we do our little pre-show meeting. You stayed in town last night?
Yes, I certainly did. Enjoyed a very chill night. How about you?
What did I do? Just, yeah, had a great night. Worked out over at Pinnacle Fitness with my buddy Jamie. And then, what did I do? Back home, just me and my mom were at home.
Aww.
She's watching that. So I got home. All the kids were out. And Bobby's in finals. Sophie and Nola are bouncing around. Kimberly had a dinner, so I was home, chilled out, watched my mom, who one of her ears, she can't hear anything, barely, so her hearing aid isn't working in one of her ears. So she started watching the John Hamm show on Apple, and I'm pretty sure the entire neighborhood could hear it as well. I mean, it was literally
loud and proud.
Well, I mean, she's just blaring it, and I was getting ready for our show today, so I was doing show prep and getting ready for Alex Anthopoulos. Is this too loud?
Aw.
Is it too loud, Steven?
Did she love the show?
She enjoys John Hamm like every woman does, right?
Second that emotion.
You were saying that all the girls, where were you? At a birthday party? They were all talking about him?
We were in Daphne, Alabama at a graduation party, and we bellied right up to the bar and had a John Hamm festival.
So his it factor, even though in the show he's kind of a jerk, right? He's kind of a bitter.
Even in Mad Men, he was...
Yeah,
a jerk.
He's not a nice guy.
This just in, men like the bad. I don't know. He's just got that. He's the BDE walking in. He's it. He is it.
Right. So.
He jumps off the screen. He's super hot. He's got a great personality off the screen.
So I know when women used to watch Mad Men.
Yeah.
Back in the day, they'd be like, listen, I don't like that he's cheating on his wife. I don't like that that woman is married and she's hooking up with him. But I get it, right? They're like, yeah. But I get it. There are some opportunities that roll in front of you, and it's difficult to say no to. And John Hamm would be one of those guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the it factor.
The Your Friends and Neighbors, you guys on Apple, it is the first episode to me is weak, and I almost didn't stay with it.
I don't agree with you. I like that whole backstory of him getting the the dude from L.A. Law who fires him.
Yeah, Corbin.
Corbin Burnson,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah.
I love that part of the plot. And then the girl he hooks up with and the whole deal. And then,
it's just really, really good. And then husband, he has no time for me. He is watching Mobland every episode. Like
I
called last
night.
I'm like, hey, what's going on? Mobland.
It's only like one season, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
But
I watched the first episode.
Yeah.
It's tremendous. Pierce Brosnan plays leader of an English mob, mm-hmm, which is awesome. Violence, everything else. I got to watch that. I was going to say, I was watching American Manhunt, Osama bin Laden, which is the entire story of the years that they were searching for Osama bin Laden. It's trending as number one on Netflix. Super easy. 3 episodes. First episode is a lot of the 9/11 and the backstory on Osama bin Laden. And then the next two are basically the manhunt.
Where is that? What?
That's on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah. Really good stuff as well. Anyways, from a ATL perspective, what else is happening in town here that folks need to know about or are talking about? Wrapping up finals, so folks getting ready to disappear from Atlanta, take their family vacations, take their beach vacations, head to Europe, some folks in those bougie neighborhoods where they rely, you know, the Buckheads of the world. A lot of those families will be taken off. But finals this week, a lot of stress.
Memorial
right?
Day travel. I was just watching WSB News this morning. They said Thursday. This Thursday will start the crazy. Friday, Friday afternoon at noon is one of the busiest traffic days in all of Atlanta throughout the year.
Okay.
Getaway day, so get where you're going if you guys can remember that, because it's pretty brutal. And then the city clears out. I mean, my husband and I, it's his birthday, so we're going to have a little staycation in town.
Okay.
Up at Avalon, and because it's a great time to be in town.
Where are you going to dinner up there?
We are going to 141. It's my husband's favorite.
Yeah, that's the Italian place.
And, in Johns Creek. And then we're going to Keith Urban is Friday night.
Where's
and then we're
he
going
playing?
To Roomy Saturday night at the amphitheater outside.
Okay.
Yeah, so very
that's a
excited.
Busy weekend.
Yeah, and then we're probably going to go see Mission Impossible up there at the movies. We're going to do a whole thing.
Wow.
A little staycation,
that's a good
program, right? I think so too.
They got a good theater up there at Avalon,
they do.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Our buddy Billy.
NFA. That's what we're. That's what Larry's like. We're going to get a burger at NFA at Avalon.
Our buddy Billy Kramer just opened his up there as well.
Are you staying here?
I think I am staying here. Yeah. I haven't even had a chance to look because it's been so busy. You know, handling all this stuff with graduation and the kids taking off, and Sophie's leaving to go study overseas and everything. So I haven't even looked about what we're doing all weekend.
When's the last time you got a prostate exam?
Hello.
I just feel like when that is in the news and prostate cancer, it's a general reminder for gentlemen out there to go get your prostate checked.
Why is it in the news?
Because Joe Biden has a very
advanced case. You know, they say every male, as long as they live a fairly long life, will have prostate cancer, will be found when they pass. So the older
you
get... You
will not die of it, you'll die with it,
yes,
as long as you get a hold
exactly
of it.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I had a PSA recently. You know, I had all those back problems, and it was, like, affecting, you know, urinary tract and all that.
Yeah.
And got another PSA for it. If you're not getting a PSA, I mean, what are you thinking? Just like not getting a colonoscopy.
Again, had the discussion this weekend of like hadn't done it, the colonoscopy hadn't done it.
Who
There's no reason. People at this graduation party, men, husbands, they're getting nagged by their
wife. My Dr. Mellis is like, there's a few things that can kill you. Colon cancer, you can test for that. Prostate cancer, you can test for that. So as a guy, like those are two boxes you can check. And then it's like heart attack, which now there's all kinds of stuff to test for blockage, right? There are these unbelievably advanced tests. I got one of those. Also, a calcium test. It shows you if there's any heart. I mean, so he's like,
build up.
I can't help, you know. He's like, you get hit by a bus, you know, I can't help you. But I can pretty much, you know, for men over 50, there's like three or four boxes.
And women, too, with the colonoscopies, they're saying earlier and earlier. So there's a reason maybe we're talking about it. Maybe somebody's listening and say, you know what? I'm going to go do
that. If you're a dude and you haven't gone to your general practitioner and you don't have a regular doctor and you are, I don't know. It's kind of nice to be here and be able to, you know, watch Braves games and do all the great things we can do every day. So just go get that handled as well. All right, let's do our 9 at 9. We'll get ready. Got a lot of good topics today as well.
Welcome back, Spencer Strider. As the Braves and the Nats begin a three-gamer in Washington, Spencer Strider been on the IL for 32 days. He had a grade 1 hamstring pull, strain, whatever, and he'll be back tonight. We're very excited. I'm guessing 80 pitches. They'll have him on a bit of a pitch count. I'm excited to see him out there. Just stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, the Spencer Strider story, unbelievably frustrating that he worked so hard to get back. And then it's incredible how elite athletes, and I'm not telling you, you know, guys in their 40s and 50s don't have freak injuries, but the one he had, just plain catch.
Long toss. He was long toss in the outfield a day
and
after he was pitching.
And it was a.
He was coming back to the dugout, and Snit's like, hey, what's going on? He goes, something happened. And he's been gone ever since. And his hamstring, grade 1. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Awful. So let's go tonight, 6:45.
Yeah, speaking of Memorial Day weekend, I cannot imagine a scenario. Now, again, there's some huge holiday weekends, July 4th weekends and whatnot, but I can't imagine a hotter ticket than Memorial Day weekend at Truist Park. Ronald Acuna will be coming back this weekend. The Padres, are they in first place? Dodgers have lost 4 in a row, by the way. Do you know that Ron Washington went to L.A. with one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball, Ron Washington, the Angels, and they swept the Dodgers in L.A.? So good for Ron Washington. They were having a horrendous season, L.A., the Angels. And then last night, Dodgers lose again. Who beat them last night?
Dodgers have lost four straight.
Yeah, all of them at home.
San Diego's lost three straight.
So who's in first place in that division?
Dodgers by just a half a game.
So the Padres are in town Friday, Saturday, Sunday on Memorial Day weekend. Pretty
cool.
There
you go. So can't wait. I think this is so cool, you guys. Chipper Jones and Marquise Grissom were named the managers for the Futures All-Star Game during All-Star Weekend here in Atlanta, or those 3 days. It's July the 12th. Chipper's got the National League. Grissom has the American League. But I was so fascinated, Steak, by like, who got picked? So I'll tell you who got picked. Chipper's team. Mark DeRosa is going to be the bench coach. Andrew Jones is going to be the hitting coach. Tim Hudson is the pitching coach. Tyler Flowers, first base. Teixeira, your third base. It's Kanaku. He's the manager down at Gwinnett. He's your third base coach. Nick Markakis is your general manager. And Peter Moylan, have some fun in the bullpen. He's your bullpen coach. Okay. That is a blast. I love that whole lineup there. We'll talk to Chipper, see who he came up with who and who is mad. NBA Western Conference Finals get underway tonight. Minnesota is at Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City is favored by 7.5. And just a reminder, you guys, Atlanta Dream is at the Indiana Fever tonight. But Caitlin Clark and company will roll into State Farm on Thursday night if you want to see about going down. And congratulations to Danny Hall, Georgia Tech's baseball coach, named ACC's baseball coach of the year as they finish the regular season in first place. They are the number one seed in the baseball tournament.
Yeah, what a great story for Georgia Tech and Danny Hall, who joined us just 2 weeks ago, right before that Louisville series, which was his last home series regular season. The hope was they'll be hosting a regional. They may host a super regional, depending, after they won the ACC outright.
They're in line
as well
to have a regional, so let's just
Well, they'll definitely host
thing,
the
y'all.
First round. Mm-hmm. Question is, they get a second round. And both teams, Georgia Tech, getting ready for their respective tournaments, which will have a big say in where they end up in terms of the NCAA tournament as well. When we come back, lots to get to here. There's nothing that makes me crazier than journalists.
Journalists
that should know better. Shaquille O'Neal was on a podcast. More of this conspiracy nonsense. We'll play the cut. I'll have my rant. We'll do some of that coming up. And the Mike Strahan interview that was as bad as it gets. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro, Sandra Golden. Thanks so much for being with us on a Tuesday morning. Alex Anthopoulos will join us, the general manager of the Atlanta Braves. That's coming up at 10 o'clock. Also, later in the show, I don't know if it can get much uglier than RG3 and Ryan Clark going back and forth my gosh, it started with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. And let's just say that's like the minor leagues compared to Ryan Clark going all in on RG3, essentially talking about his family and the women that he's married to over the years, and then RG3 responding. And it just, I mean, it is a hot mess. We'll give you update on that as well. And we'll talk more about the NBA. Eastern and Western Finals. We're going to get some Hawks news somewhere down the line with our two number.
When are you going to do your big predictions for the NBA Finals?
I have a good sense for how the NBA Finals are going to play out, who's going to get there. I'll do that a little bit later on, 10:25. So I want to talk about something that irritates me to no end.
Okay.
And that is, and I know you're a bit of a conspiracy theorist, and that's fine on certain levels. Here's what I can tell you. The notion that lotteries are fixed in the NBA when they're literally ping pong balls, that's like saying that somehow the lottery that you watch at WSB at night when they flip around those balls and the numbers come out and everything else, that somehow that's fixed, that this year there is conversation. Was it who was kind of laughing and saying, oh, that's classic that Dallas gets the number one pick? LeBron or somebody was insinuating.
LeBron did the tweet with all the laughing emojis.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because, like, Dallas is the most important market in the NBA.
No, because right? The NBA went to Nico and said, if you'll trade Luka, we'll make sure you get the number one pick. That was the conspiracy theory.
Okay. So, and they wanted Luka in L.A. Is that it? So why is LeBron mocking the fact that the league was trying to help L.A.? Because that's the notion, right? The league is trying to help the Lakers, so they cut a deal with Nico that you'll be the most ridiculed, mocked.
Because that's what he was laughing at, that they were trying to help the whole thing. I think he was laughing at the whole.
He's the one that came out with the conspiracy stuff the way before. Like, LeBron just like loves to like passive-aggressively throw stuff out there. Here's Shaquille O'Neal on a podcast, and instead of saying the notion that we fix lotteries is ridiculous, he goes the other way.
I don't know if you heard this story, but in 1992, I believe the draft was in June or something, I meet Mr. Stern in March. And he says to me, hey, know who you are. Can't wait for you to come to the NBA. Then he pulls me to his side. You want to play where it's cold or where it's hot? He asked me that. Yeah, he did. He asked me that, and I was like, hot. And he smiled, and I smiled. And then a couple of days later, they had the draft thing and, you know, the top three things. And then Minnesota was number three. I was like, and then Charlotte was number two, and then Orlando, Florida was number one. I was like, I didn't think anything about it, but, you know, you hear a lot of these conspiracy theories, and you know, there's a lot of situations that could make these things sound good and sound true. Like, okay, Dallas gets rid of one of the best players, but, oh, we're getting a new one. Ding, 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 ding. So I don't want to use the word conspiracy theory, but it's very interesting.
Now, again, he's not saying it was fixed. He's not saying this is proof. But he's just throwing it out there enough to help to fan the flames of conspiracy theorists, right? You want to credit the podcast it was on?
Ashley Neville, who is the CEO of ABN Media.
Okay. So there's two climates, I guess, in the NBA. There's hot and there's cold. He's the number one pick. Maybe the commissioner of the NBA was having idle chatter with the number one player in America, asking him, where would you like to end up? Because Minnesota has a chance to get the pick. That's really cold. And then I guess it's Charlotte and Orlando, which are warmer. And last I checked, the three top picks, Charlotte, Orlando, Minnesota. Now, would Charlotte have been considered a warm weather market? Is the league obsessed with making Orlando more relevant? Orlando's not even a market that the league would have been that focused on. It's not a great media market. It's not a great revenue ad market. It's not a very big market. Like, what reason would the NBA have to try to fix it on Orlando's behalf? It's just dumb. It didn't happen. You can't keep that secret. The frozen envelope of Patrick Ewing to the Knicks. Sometimes teams like New York, Boston, L.A., Chicago, Philly actually get the top picks, because sometimes big markets get those picks. And sometimes Zion Williamson ends up in New Orleans. Was that a good thing? The smallest market in the NBA, arguably. A market that can barely hold that team and keep him there. Would Zion not have been better off a lot of other places? I don't know, mate. Caleb, maybe look at that draft and see where else Zion could have ended up. I would have thought it could have ended up in a better situation.
He could have been with the Hawks. That was a point in which he was tapping the desk at the NBA lottery, and a lot of fans were like, hey, maybe Zion could come here in Atlanta.
So how far, well, were we picking that year, right? So if you look at that draft, my point is Atlanta would have made a hell of a lot more sense than New Orleans. You're going to start fixing lotteries, send Zion somewhere where he could have lit up a town. Nobody knew he was going to be injury plagued and overweight and not play hard and everything else, or not play hard. So my point is, I just get so tired of like, oh, look, well, there you go. Here goes Dallas. I don't know. Washington is a pretty big market, right? And that franchise has been left for nothing.
Right.
If I was going to fix the lottery this year, maybe I would say they got Alexander Sarr last year, send Cooper Flagg to Washington. Let's have one of the biggest markets in America actually start to have a team that people care about, right? So why is – they already have Kyrie and Anthony Davis. Why would they fix it for them? Shaq doesn't need to throw it out there. So, okay, so – Orlando won the lottery, so you could have been cold or warm. It wasn't like there's 15 climates. So because you ended up in a warm climate and David Stern smiled at you, you put that out there. They're just effing with the league.
So let it be more transparent when you do the ping pong balls.
What does that mean, more transparent?
They do that in private, and then they do the envelopes and that big reveal. So if you just did it all out in front of everybody, nobody's going to say anything.
Is that what people have been saying about
it? That's what I'm saying. I don't know what other people are saying. I just don't understand why it's behind closed doors and they do it like that.
That's a good question. Other than, I don't know, the process would take longer to make it a television event, maybe. But
I don't know. I watched WSB do those ping pong balls in under 30 seconds.
Yeah, but there's 13 different teams or 14 different teams or whatever. I mean, there's a reason for it. Listen, the NBA is not worried.
Have a team representative in the room with each time they do it, and they don't.
There are. There's media in the room as well.
How many media members?
They usually kind of handpick those sorts of things. So I knew a couple of guys that were in the room this year.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
in the room when
it's not even worth talking about. It's not fixed. It's never been fixed. That doesn't happen. Something would come out about it at some point. Yes, they're media members. There's teams back there. Then they want to make it a television event. And why would Dallas be the place? And why would Orlando be the place? All right? The Knicks win one lottery, and everybody's convinced, right? The Knicks have been – it's been 25 years since they've been to the Eastern Finals. So, obviously, the league's not doing a good job of fixing the – on behalf of. Caleb, do you have that – the Zion year? Who else was picking after that?
Oh, it was the Memphis Grizzlies, and number three was the New York Knicks. So why didn't he go to New York?
Right. Now, that would have made sense. If you're going to fix it, send Zion to the Knicks. Don't send him to New Orleans.
The Knicks had 14% odds that year, and the Pelicans had 6% odds.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Well, there you go.
So let's talk about the awful Bill Belichick interview. Chris Russo saying what we echoed yesterday. We were pretty much on the same page. Sandra said maybe there were conditions. I'm saying there weren't conditions. That was just an awful interview. Either way, somebody at ABC should have said to Michael Strahan, if we're going to do this, do it right. Here's Chris Russo yesterday on his talk show.
What ABC did there, ABC gave carte blanche to Belichick. Bill, we want Sean. Tell us what questions you want to ask.
And that is a You can't do that.
Horrific. 100%. ABC was horrific that essentially they sold their journalism chops to make sure Belichick, as he was in the news, was on the air. That was a horrific job by a worthy news organization. And then they put Strahan in a tough spot because we all know Strahan is, again, he's not Mike Wallace. He's an ex-football player. No knock against Strahan, but that's an impossible situation. One of his old coaching brethren, he's not going to put him on the spot. And if you're going to have Belichick on the air in that situation, you got to ask him about Malcolm Butler. You got to ask him about not Bob Kraft in your book. You got to ask him about how it ended with New England. You got to ask him why somehow he didn't get the Atlanta job 2 years ago. There's so many things you got to ask him, and they asked him nothing.
Yeah.
And he did not mention one time the girl. Did you hear Chris Russo? He didn't mention the girlfriend. He mentioned real stories about real football stories that were nothing to do with his personal life. And they didn't even do that.
Yeah, because it was
I would love to hear and ask about
job.
Atlanta.
How about be half as good as the guy that's not a sports guy on CBS Sunday Morning who actually did ask Bob about Bob Kraft?
Right. Yeah.
You didn't even mention Bob Kraft in the credits. How about saying, how upset were you about not getting the Falcons job? And is that why you were seen in a photo with a young lady trolling the Falcons?
It just was terrible. And they teased it since that Monday. He didn't go on live till Friday.
Exactly
it was
right.
a fail.
You
it
said
was
it.
Really not good.
If for Michael Strahan, it lays credence that you should be hosting $20,000 pyramid and you should do GMA soft
stuff. That's right.
Stuff,
he knew
you,
what he was
But
going.
You shouldn't have to handle an interview that we hype all week. He should be super embarrassed by that.
Agreed.
What an absolute fail for a guy that went out there and did every media market while he didn't have a job, right? He's on ESPN. Why is he going McAfee and answer the questions, like, for real? Why doesn't McAfee ask him real questions?
Oh, and you know Pat's going to go right there.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, are you being facetious?
No, I mean, Pat McAfee is not
going to
back down
way.
At all.
Well,
he's going to go all in.
It's not that he won't. Yes, he'll find a way to ask
100%.
It like he used to ask Aaron Rodgers.
No, I love Pat McAfee. He goes right at him.
All right. When we come back, is Mina Kimes pulling a Sandra Golden when she basically calls Falcon fans adorable? You have to hear this cut. If you didn't like Mina Kimes, I'm not sure you're going to like her anymore after
hearing
this.
I think you're going to like her. It's good.
You think?
It's good. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Steak hadn't heard it yet. I think he's going to like it.
That's coming up. Alex Anthopoulos at 10, Sports Radio 929. Hey, it's 9:41. Make sure you're on the Odyssey app. and you can listen to sports talk radio stations all over the country, but why would you not just listen to the one in Atlanta? I mean, we're talking about stuff in Atlanta, right? We're not going on and on about the Knicks and Celebrity Row and how awesome Jalen Brunson is. We can talk about that, but that's not what we're doing here. We're talking about Michael Penix in five nationally televised games. We're talking about the Hawks with two number ones and trying to figure out the future with a new head of basketball, president of basketball operations, and is Trae Young on the block at all? And we're talking about what it looks like at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. So get the Odyssey app, listen while you're on break, listen wherever you're traveling around to, and make sure you follow us on social media at Steak Shapiro and at Sports Sandra. We'll hear from Mina Kimes, who decided to do a little rant on the Falcon fans. But first, let's do a tailgate.
Let's begin with college baseball again. Congrats to Danny Hall, the ACC Coach of the Year. Georgia Tech is the number one seed in the ACC tournament. That play will get underway today. However, Georgia Tech does not play until Thursday, and they will play the winner of a first couple of games. It will either be Miami, Cal, or Wake Forest, and that will be Thursday at 3 o'clock. Georgia is your 5 seed in the SEC tournament, and you want to talk about loaded is the SEC tournament. Texas is the 1 seed. Arkansas is the 2 seed. LSU is the 3 seed, and Vandy is the 4 seed. And as good as Georgia is, they are your 5 seed. They will play on Wednesday, time to be announced, but they will play the winner of the Oklahoma and Kentucky matchup. So, again, play gets underway. It's almost like a play-in today, then tomorrow, and then our teams will go on Wednesday.
Yeah, never had there been better teams in the history of a tournament playing play-in games. Like, a play-in games in the SEC baseball tournament is not like your who's playing Tuesday in the SEC basketball or ACC basketball, where you have teams that are, like, absolutely at the bottom. Like, these are great national programs that just by virtue of how good the SEC is – are forced to play early on in the tournament.
I do want to say, if you've got nothing to do over the next couple of days, to take an hour and a half ride over to Hoover, that facility is first class. They put on an amazing tournament, and you're going to see some of the best baseball in the country.
No doubt.
It's going to be amazing. Real quick, I just want to remind you guys, the SEC football meetings will happen next week in Destin, Florida, and front and center stake on the itinerary is that 9-game schedule. I don't think this will be any big news when 2 weeks ago ESPN announced that they were willing to pay between the numbers of 50, that's 50, and $80 million in additional money to the SEC to add a 9th game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the gauntlet is the SEC. It just sounds crazy to have these kids add another conference game. Oh, yeah, we're just going to play LSU or Florida or Georgia or Bama or Texas or Auburn or Ole Miss. That's our 9th game in the league. Like, the competitiveness of that league and then trying to schedule the likes of Georgia Tech and Georgia. So Georgia has got to play Tech, who's now legit, or South Carolina now also plays Clemson every year.
Yep.
Florida also has to play Florida State.
That's right.
I mean, it's just an absolute gauntlet with no break whatsoever.
I say it's going to go. All right, so real quick, I know that's our little tailgate for the day.
Well, that's
so
our tailgate.
Yeah. 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by our favorite folks at WiseGuysProWash.com. They do the best pressure wash. Have you ever pressure washed your driveway? I just can't believe I asked you that.
Has your husband ever
hilarious.
Done that?
Hilarious. They're the best. Mention me, get $70 off. So there you go. WiseGuysProWash.com.
All right, you're going to tell us about Mina Kimes.
Oh, right? Good. You want me to say it? Okay, so on Friday, I'm watching the internets, and it took over the world. Mina Kimes is on with Kevin Clark on their podcast, and they are naming the top 5 fan bases in all of football. And number one is...
The Atlanta Falcons are the best fan base in the entire NFL. They have been through the most. Nobody has been through 28-3. Sorry. They by far have the weirdest team. They endure all of this constant ongoing humiliation with equanimity, poise, resilience. They also have the perfect blend of nihilism with a tiny bit of hope that I find unbelievably charming.
They act as if we walked into their apartment when it's very messy and they're kind of like, yeah, we know. Like we know. They're not like defiant being like, this is a clean room. They're like, I'm sorry, we didn't, this is kind of embarrassing. Like they get it. And we've talked about this. If the Philly fan base had gotten a hold of the Penix Kirk Cousins thing and we criticized it, they'd go, oh, you don't get it. You're not smart enough to get it. Oh, yes. I'm so sorry you don't get it. The Falcons fans are like, I don't know what the hell is going on. We'll figure this out.
Most of them understand that the James Pierce trade in the draft, the criticism is warranted, but they also are allowing themselves to get excited and hopeful that one of these pass rushers that they've drafted will work out.
First of all, what's the word, Caleb, what's the definition of nihilism?
Rejection of moralistic principles.
Rejection of moralistic principles.
There you go. There's a little bit more.
Okay. No, I'm just trying to understand.
You're an English major. I thought for sure you would be on the level of Mina. She is super bright.
Well, she went to
Harvard. You know she won Jeopardy, the Celebrity Jeopardy? She killed it.
Most of it. I don't think.
I thought she won the whole thing. When I was watching, she won the whole thing.
No, she got to the finals.
Wow, so good.
I think.
So smart.
But anyway, she's a Harvard grad, incredible writer. We have more?
A little more?
The entire premise of the Falcons organization since the day after Kirk Cousins was signed is that Michael Penix is the best quarterback in existence. And I don't know what the hell is going to happen, but I do know the Falcons fans are taking it, as you said, with grace, in stride, and I admire them.
Most of them understand that the James Pierce trade in the draft, the criticism is warranted, but they also are allowing themselves to get excited and hopeful that one of these pass rushers that they've drafted will work out.
They're rooting for the pilot to stay in the air.
We are, and I'm not going to apologize, Steak. Every single thing they said, I will own. Yes, James Pierce is going to be the greatest pass rusher we've ever gotten. Michael Penix is going to be the greatest quarterback ever on the face of the earth, and that's why we don't need Kirk Cousins. We go all in. It's never gray. It is black or white, always.
But isn't that whole bit tongue firmly in cheek?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're trying to make the point of... It's almost like, bless your heart, Atlanta. Like, what?
You're the
what's
best fan base,
on?
Which they don't believe.
They're the weirdest.
Well, I think she's saying what happens to Atlanta is unlike any other franchise.
Yes, yes.
You know, and it could be Eugene Robinson in our first Super Bowl of all time solicits a prostitute a block
the
from the
man
hotel.
Of the year, the NFL's man of the year, Eugene Robinson.
The greatest star in franchise history is was a orange jumpsuit.
Yes.
Yeah. Is in prison, federal prison, for dog fighting. That's where our most popular player ends up. Mm-hmm. We have the biggest collapse in the history of sports, mm-hmm. professional sports. Mm-hmm. We have this, you know, bizarre draft pick, which is the most talked about in NFL history. Which was taking a quarterback when we just spent $100 million on a quarterback, which turned out to be, the right thing. We, what's the other apps? Well, the fact that our defensive coordinator's kid, it was not some random right. kid that just trolled Shador. Mm-hmm. That was actually one of our guys. I mean, the other stuff, getting fined for music and piping in music, and then the Kirk Cousins blowing the deal about getting tampered, all that. I mean, that's small potatoes compared to, like, major, incredible drama.
100%. Bizarro world every time we turn on the news.
You know, listen, obviously, the passion for the Falcons fans is probably not even top 20 in the National Football League. I mean, so they're having fun with it. And when I say it's not top 20, because you can't build, you know, fan base loyalty when you don't win. It's all about that.
Right.
The Atlanta Braves in the exact same market as the Atlanta Falcons. Same market. So it's not about how good a sports town you are. It's not about how many transplants are there. It's not about necessarily you didn't grow up in the same history. It's about success. And that's why Braves country is real. Now, Braves country also benefits from all the states that didn't have teams for a while. You said you grew up a Braves fan. They had the superstation.
It's the TBS factor that we just watched. Like, we were America's team.
If Michael Vick had played here for 10 years and we had gone to one Super Bowl, multiple NFC championship games, been in the middle of huge games, maybe he gets more accurate throwing the football. You have a cavalcade of players to keep, you know, elevating. You know, the plan with Matt Ryan was you got to keep getting better players. So you grab Tony Gonzalez later in his career. You draft Julio Jones. You give him, obviously, he was lucky enough to play Roddy White and Michael Jenkins. Then you're constantly staying in the mix. If Michael Vick had had that, our fan base would have grown and grown and just, you know.
And even when we got the momentum stake is when the preseason, when Michael Vick breaks his leg against the Ravens right. in the preseason.
Yep.
I mean, that year, the hype for Mike.
Yep.
And
but imagine if we had had 8 years of
oh,
it.
My gosh.
Like eight yeah. or 9 years for the Falcons to literally just put points on the board. And points on the board means more fans, more fans. Other cities now, they're their favorite. They love the black unis. They love number 7, Mike Vick. They watch him in NFC Championship games. Like, build the momentum.
Time, the primetime games.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you build momentum. Now Arthur has to sit back and go, look at where the needle is. 7 straight years out of the playoffs. Quarterback's name, Matt Ryan in his final year, which was a terrible year. Matt Ryan, Desmond Ridder, Marcus Mariota, Kirk Cousins. That's the
awful.
Last 4 years under 500, right?
Awful.
So you just can't.
Even how they were dancing with Deshaun Watson and Matt Ryan finds out about it. Like that disaster.
Your best player.
Awful. How he exited stage left from Atlanta.
Yeah, the best player in
awful.
Your history, you basically were ready to throw aside because they want to make this bold move with Deshaun Watson, which thankfully didn't happen. So.
And even the hiring of Raheem with the Bill Belichick drama, and I mean how it all went down. It's always something, the hiccups along the way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a hiccup. Why is the Raheem Morris Bill Belichick a hiccup?
It was such a controversy of you're going to regret not hiring Bill Belichick,
yeah.
the greatest coach. And it was pretty much, we heard it was a done deal until it wasn't, and then Bill is pouting off.
Well, that's
off
just a great story, but unfortunately for Raheem, all he did was lay credence. Listen, last year's team led absolute credence to the notion that you should have hired Bill Belichick. There was nothing about overachieving last year. If anything, it went the other direction. Your defense was worse. Bill Belichick's a defensive coach, right? Now we know Bill Belichick's way too big a jerk to have a guy that we want to have here that, you know, nobody in the NFL wanted this guy. So it's not like I'm sitting around or anybody really is thinking we want Belichick. However, there was nothing about last year finishing under 500, losing the Carolina Panthers at the end of the season, having, you know, Kirk Cousins completely crater from 6-3 to what happened. So Falcon fans have been through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? They've been through it. And until the Atlanta Falcons have a Super Bowl trophy that is in buses. And maybe it's in our lifetime, you and I. Maybe we're still on the microphones, right? Although at this point, I would doubt it. Until you have the parade down Peachtree, where the actual ceremony will be, I would assume either at Centennial Olympic Park or over there at the Home Depot backyard area, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. Can you get 100,000 people outside there? I mean, I'm not like, this is what would happen if we won it.
100%.
Until that happens.
Right.
It's never going to be right.
You just said top 20 fan bases. Do you think there's 11, I don't want to say worse, but worse that are more irrelevant? I think you're being kind at 20. And I raised my hand. I'm the Falcons fan.
I thought you were going to tell me that was being too mean.
Start going backwards up. Who's the worst? And, I mean, to be 20,
Carolina's really bad.
Right.
Jacksonville's really bad. You can't say Seattle. You can't say Denver.
I don't think you can say Tampa.
You can say the Raiders. Probably can't say
that's
Tampa because
right.
they got Super Bowls.
That's right.
Right?
Arizona?
Arizona.
Okay.
That's a good one.
So, by the way, that's 4. So, that's what I mean. I think that was a kind gesture.
Yeah. That's a great question. All right. Alex Anthopoulos, speaking of great questions, right. when we come back. Sports Radio 929. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, joined right now by the general manager of the Atlanta Braves, Alex Anthopoulos, on Sports Radio 92.9. Hey, Alex, thanks so much for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be on.
So the expression, I slept better, which is what I thought of on Sunday night, as you guys had a great weekend in Boston. You get over 500. I'm thinking it's been a long, well, not that long, actually, one of the fastest turnarounds in terms of starting 0-7. But do you actually sleep better on Sunday night than, say, if I checked in with you 7 weeks ago and you were 0-5 or 0-7 after the road trip? Is that an actual thing?
Yeah, especially going into an off day. You know, I know it's crazy, but you get to carry the win over. You know, and I normally, you don't really, you know, the losses always hurt. You don't normally enjoy the wins, but I'll tell you this, when you start 0-7, you savor them, especially at the beginning, because it's painful to go through it. So, look, Saturday night sucked on so many levels. It was, you know, we're up 6-2, and, you know, Granholm gave us a nice start through 6-5-0. Yeah, and it's like that. Look, we've done that to other teams. It happens. It's happened to us. You know what's going to happen again and over the course of the season. But those really, and, you know, especially because you feel like you had a chance to win the series. So to come back the next day, score runs, have a good outing, all that kind of stuff it's definitely, you feel better. But look, we're still nowhere close to where we want to be. The NL is stacked. You know, you look at six of us made the postseason last year. There's a bunch of teams, Reds, Giants, Diamondbacks, Cubs, you know, that did not,
last year.
They make playoffs. Yeah. So, I mean, and you've got, you know, that I'm sure there's somebody I forgot there, that, you know, that, but you look at 11, 12 teams that, you know, for six playoff spots in the NL that very much have the talent to be in the playoffs. So it's going to be a grind. But look, I'm encouraged because I do think there's still a lot of upside. We still have guys that I think will perform better because their numbers are not going to end up where they are right now. And we've got Strider back tonight, Acuna hopefully back very soon behind him. And we should be getting better and trending in the right direction.
I will say, having done this for a long time, 25, 30 years, in this town, there is still something about organizations that you trust. And in I would say your fan base and the sports fans here, there is still a mindset, thanks to you, thanks to Snit, thanks to Bobby, thanks to that we will figure this out. And the, you know, we were 8 games under 500 at one point and just slowly went about our business of doing what the Braves do. Did you always have that sense, even as bad as it started, that I know how good this team can be, and I also know the history of how we play under Brian Snitker. We will figure this out.
Well, yeah, you ultimately believe, you know, it's one thing if, you know, Chris Sale got off to a slow start, but if you watched his stuff, it was still fantastic, and you're like, okay, this isn't going to continue. Some of the position players, so the offense, you know that you prorate those numbers the first week, 10 days, 2 weeks. It's not going to carry on for 6 months. So you know it's going to turn. And when you're 0-4, 0-5, 0-6, you don't know when it's going to end, and you're thinking, when is that first win going to come? But look, at the same time, it's still embarrassing, right? You still, you know, I remember, you know, obviously our first game back, we had this 0-7 road trip. Now I'm doing town halls here. But I think what helps is Terry McGuirk, our chairman, you know, he's steady. I mean, he is a rock. He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. You know, even though I've been doing this a long time and I've been through 10-game winning streaks, losing streaks, on-field, off-field, all kinds of issues over so many years as a GM, he's been through it all too, and he knows it. And having someone in that chair who's, you know, pretty much, you know, has at the ownership level, really, is our chairman and our control person, that's steady, that doesn't get rattled, it gives you comfort as a GM. And I think, you know, I won't speak for Snit, but I'm sure it gives Snit comfort as well. So you never overreact. You know it's going to, you know, I had a GM call me early on that was saying, oh, you know, they were scuffling, and he's younger and inexperienced as a GM, and asked me. And I said, look, man, you just got to ride it out. I know it's, nobody wants to hear it. It's a long season and all that, but, you know, there's going to be peaks and valleys and so on, and you just got to grind through it. But, you know, I asked guys like Olsen and Harris that live here or from here, you know, hey, 0-7, are, you know, I'm not from here, right? I don't have a ton of friends and family here and so on. Toronto, I would feel it a lot more. I went to school there and so on. But I said, hey, how's it been? Your friends, your families, everybody getting all over you, this and that. And they said, you know what, for the most part, it's been fine. So we appreciate the fact that the fan base is passionate, intense. We get great support. I appreciate the fact that you talked about trust and so on. You hope to get to that point. But I also know that you can't carry over. There's no equity that you can carry over. I mean, we are expected, just like the players, but as a management group, to bring results every day, every year. I never lost sight of that fact. I realized it really more so in the first half of 21 after three divisions in a row of, hey, we, you know, you're not going to say, ah, well, it's all right. You know, you've had winning before. I know we're expected to win, and, you know, we expect that out of ourselves.
Alex Anthopoulos with us. A lot of baseball stuff to get to, actual nuts and bolts of the team. So did you know before us, days before, about Jerks and Profar, and is that why Alex Verdugo was in the mix, or when do you find that out?
No, so we, the way the program works is the club is, one, it's the club's not involved, right? That is through the MLBPA and MLB. Look, there's appeal processes that players have a right to and so on. Because, look, there are times when things like this happen and no one knows anything about it. There's an appeal, and the appeal is, you know, and the player is exonerated, and, you know, none of that stuff got attached to the player. So
Did you know?
So it came out that afternoon, and Jurickson had talked to the players. So we found out that, I mean, I guess late morning that afternoon is when we got word of it. And again, it's a super confidential thing, rightfully so. I completely get it. And I think it was announced a few hours later. So I guess we had a few hours from that point. You know, Verdugo, we signed him in March. And, you know, really, that was in when we were signing James McCann, Craig Kimbrell. When you get to the end of spring or towards the end of spring training, that's kind of the time to check in on the remaining free agents, where guys may have wanted a major league contract, guys don't want to go to the minors. At that point, they all realize, look, we're at the end of spring training. I'm going to have to go to the minor leagues in some capacity. And it's, you don't want to wait that long, but ultimately, if you can't get deals done, that's the time to call around. So we called around on all those guys, Verdugo being one of those guys. You know, he had not had a major league offer up to that point. Getting a major league offer was important to him. He had options. Obviously, he wasn't going to be ready to start the year. Guys like Kimbrell and McCann the same way. The fact that he was willing to go to the minor leagues is the only reason that that deal got done. And we looked at it when we factored in the price and the ability to go to the minors, and we've needed to add outfielders every year, especially from the left side. It was a no-brainer for us at $1.5 million when the minimum is $760,000 to add a really good player like that, really talented, knowing he would be delayed, just like it was a no-brainer to add a McCann and a Craig Kimbrell and so on. So, no, I mean, that's something that we're going to look to add depth every year at any time. And, you know, the Profar thing happened, I guess, 3 weeks after the fact, I think right around there.
All right, we got about 4 minutes left with Alex Anthopoulos. We'll get to as much as we can. The Ronald Acuna tweet, do you have any role in the follow-up of that? Obviously, I thought it was great to see his apology go in front of the team. It got handled. You're a veteran team and a veteran manager. Did you have any role in how any of that plays out?
No, at the end of the day, Ronald's his own person. He's not an 18-year-old kid. Look, I was encouraged that, you know, I talked to him when he came back, and he was contrite. And that's all you can do. You can't undo it, right? It happened. He did take it down within an hour or whatever it was. Because I remember it was just before a 1:30 game on Easter Sunday and a little afternoon, and I think just before the start of the game it was down, but it happened, right? I mean, it was there. There's screenshots and all that, and he didn't deny that. And, you know, I spoke to him, and, you know, he made no excuses, very apologetic. He went directly to Snit. I mean, no one told him, you know, go into Snit's office, sit him down, no, go address the team. No one gave him those instructions. I don't think with things like that, you can script them. They have to be authentic. They have to be sincere. Otherwise, it's not going to work. But look, he made a mistake. He's not going to be the first one or the last. And all you can do is move forward. And I can tell you that our players, you know, in talking to some of them after, you know, Ronald is, people see the guy on the field who's demonstrative and energetic and so on. In the clubhouse, he is as quiet as a church mouse. You won't even know he's there. He's shy. If you did not know the Ronald Acuna you see on the field and you walked into our clubhouse, you'd say, who's that shy guy in the corner with his head down who's quiet? He interacts, but he's very shy and quiet. And for him to want to get up and stand up in front of the team and say, I meant no disrespect. I did not want to be a distraction. I made a mistake. You know, I sincerely apologize. You know, I know to our players, knowing him and how shy he is, they were impressed that he chose to do that. So it's in the past. We move forward, and we're excited to have him back soon.
Alex Anthopoulos with us. You're worried about your closer, Raisel Iglesias. Oh, it's been a rough month or so.
It has, and not at all. And I know I'm supposed to say that. I wouldn't. I guess if I was, I wouldn't come out and say it. But and I will tell you why. You know, the one thing that the fans all see is when guys actually pitch in a game. We monitor and track how much they're up in the bullpen, right? And those, when you're up and you're, you know, we call it being up and hot and getting hot, getting ready to get into the game. That's something, right? It's not this equivalent of an appearance, but, you know, it's some. I've had some guys tell me that's the equivalent of half of an appearance. I've had other guys tell me it's three quarters of an appearance. Some guys will get up twice and not get in a game, and that could be viewed as an appearance. So he's been up a lot. That's not a criticism. He's always available. There's no issues with his health. We've played a lot of tight games. You know, those are the moves Snit needed to make, and it happens. But I think some of the rough outings have been on the tail end of he's been worked hard. And, again, that's not a knock. He's available. We signed off. Everyone knows before we all sign off on guys being available. So I'm right there as a part of it. But that's where some of the rough outings have occurred. The other component is he's given up an abnormally high rate of home runs, and that's normally not a skill unless you're throwing 80 miles an hour or you lob the ball in there. You know, he's given up, or he was at the time, close to 10% home run rate, and normally for his career he's probably around 3. He was below 2 a year ago, but even his career high was about 4%, so more than half. So those are all things that over time are going to balance out. Now, it's hard to watch because he's coming in when the game's on the line and they hurt. Look, we had the game where Allen's, to me, as good a defensive player as we're going to find in the game. He makes an error behind him. There's a ball, whether it was a comeback or Adam Raisel could have turned two and been out of the inning. Just some freak things there. But, you know, prior to that, I think he had 4 scoreless appearances in a row. So I still feel great when he comes in the game. That home run rate is not going to stay. It's going to come down. So with a lot of these guys, his stats are going to continue to get better, and he's going to be in the same place.
Is that the same thing with your positional guys who are not having great years? Some of them, the back of the baseball card doesn't lie, that you believe that, listen, those numbers will turn. Certainly, you know, for Ozzy and some of these other guys, you just expect better numbers.
Yeah, I think, look, those guys have been streaky. I think Ozzy, there's moments in his career where it's, you know, great year, all-star silver slugger, then not as good the following year. The work ethic, the hustle, the character, everything, the athleticism. He's running as well as he has in years. His sprint speeds are up. He looks great. You know, so he's just off to a slow start with the bat. Harris has been streaky as well. We've seen this where he's gotten off to slow starts, and then he's come on at the end of the year. Look, the players will be the first ones to tell you they want to go wire to wire and be great and be elite and be all-stars. And we're doing everything we can as a staff across the board, office and the coaches, to get them going. But that's where you hope to have a deep lineup, a deep, you know, 9 guys that are getting the job done, where if 2 or 3 are not playing as well, the other 6 or 7 guys are carrying them. And guys are going to go through cold streaks. And, you know, we've been able to overcome some of those things. And that's where I'm so optimistic about where we're headed, because these guys, I don't believe their stats are going to end where they are now in terms of the OPSs and things like that. I think they are going to climb, which should ultimately lead to more wins.
About a minute left. How bad did you feel about telling Bryce Elder he's going down?
Terrible. And I told him this. You know, obviously, Snit spoke, I spoke. And I told him it's the first time we've sent him down, and it's not performance-related. You know, and we were agonizing about it. We knew, you know, Smith, Schaber, and Elder had those last 2 days. And, you know, we were talking with Rick Kranitz and Eric Abreu and Snit and me and Walt Weiss and so on about what we were going to do with these two guys. And we knew one of them was going to go, and neither of them deserved to go. And you hate to say it, but those last 2 starts that they had were that important, you know. And we knew Strider was coming back once he got out of the sim game and he was doing well. And Elder threw the ball well, and then it was Smith Sharver's turn. A noon game, normal rest. You don't know what you're going to get. He threw the ball even better. And not that Bryce is happy about it, but he's professional. But he understands the alternative is sending down a guy with a 2.29 ERA. And he, you know, he'd say, look, I understand. AJ's throwing the ball great. He can't go down. So, look, it's a great problem to have. I know for a fact we will not go with these 5 the remainder of the year. Something's going to happen. We're going to need them. And what I told him, more importantly, is the upside is his career for me is back on track. Because last year it wasn't the same, and he was an all-star in 23. And that's the important part here is he's finally back to throwing the ball the way he did in 2023. And he's a huge piece for us going forward.
Is Ronald coming back on Friday, Alex?
I want to say yes. And if it was up to me, he'd be playing tonight. But the training staff, the medical staff, and I would say Ronald as well, I think they're taking a more cautious approach to this thing. You know, we don't want to go through what we did in 2022, where we brought him back. He was capable of playing, but he wasn't the same, and he wasn't right. And we're just taking a little more time, and it's painful because these games count. And we don't have a date yet, so I don't want to tease and say there's a chance. Is it a 0% chance? No. Is it likely? I would say probably not. You know, we're not leaning to that.
Probably now, not likely? Ooh, okay.
I mean, I guess I would say this. We don't have a date. If he's down, he's playing tonight. He's played 6 innings, 2 nights in a row in the field, and he DH'd the following. So we'll get him to at least 7 innings, maybe more, but at least 7 tonight. I don't know. Let's say he plays 7 innings, steals 3 bases, makes unbelievable diving plays in the outfield, and he comes in and he just says, I'm ready. I got to play. I'm ready to go. We'll have a conversation. I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
We do have a pattern here to get him going and build him up. And I think we sent him on the road in the minor leagues to get those reps. So I would think he's going to have at least a few games there, but we're going to take it day to day.
Drake Baldwin, real quick, more at-bats coming for him somewhere. Obviously, kid has been absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, he's been great. It's a great job by scouting and development with him. Drake, you guys will have him on, I'm sure, at some point. He's an amazing kid. High energy. You love being around him. Sure. You know, Snit's going to just try to get him in the lineup when he can, especially with a left-handed bat with the starters against the Red Sox. Pretty good splits right-left. It made sense to get the left-handed bat in there. Murph, we're facing 2 out of 3 left-handers with the Nats, so Drake will play game 2. Murph is playing game 1 and game 3. And Snit does a great job of getting all these guys at bats and keeping them in the lineup, so we're excited about them.
All right, before you go, you do a wellness check on your friends in Toronto. Those folks who don't know, it's been a rough go. They were another game 7 loss. You talk about star-crossed fans, right? That was not.
Yeah, my family, yeah, it's a big, you know, I just got someone sent me a tweet. Stephen A. Smith was all over them, calling them the Dallas Cowboys, which, you know, you get to, you know, when you get the NHL and the Leafs being talked about, but I got a lot of family that are diehard Leafs fans. I was even trying to just, my son's not into the NHL because he's grown up in the United States, right? He's California and now here. Hockey is not his thing. He has no interest. I was trying to get him a little engaged, and I was telling him it's game 7.
Yeah,
it's the Leafs, you know. Come on, you got. So he watched with me a little bit. And
seven, was
you
it
know,
7 straight game 7 losses? Is that what it is?
Yeah, and it was just, you know, 0-0 after the first, and then the wheels fell off. And it is just, you know, the media there, it's you know, the Leafs are a big deal. The Jays are a big deal, too. But it is, it's exciting as a hockey fan because they love it. They love the team. And, yeah, it's tough. You know, they got a good group there. They got really talented. But it's, I know my family's crushed.
Yeah, that could not get the kid to get into the NHL. That's tough for a Canadian, funny. I'll tell you. Hey,
I know, it's rough.
I know. Hey, thanks for answering so many questions and being a part of the show. And looking forward to a huge Memorial Day weekend series after we handle the Nats.
All right, guys. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Alex Anthopoulos, I think we got to most of the stuff we needed. We'll come back. Sports Radio 929. Kayla Clark, hard foul on Angel Reese. Angel Reese goes after. A conversation. Angel Reese painted as a major villain here, and might have been some racial stuff thrown at her by the fans. We don't know for sure, but the league's looking into it, and the Indiana Fever are as well. Okay, that's fine. RG3, after it happened, says this was evidence that clearly Angel Reese hates Caitlin Clark, that she hates Caitlin Clark because she didn't go after other people that way. That was his opinion. Well, Ryan Clark feels like that just fueled the flames of this racist notion of Angel Reese attacking Caitlin Clark or whatever it was. So that was what we thought the conversation was about until Ryan Clark decides to talk about the person with that opinion, a former co-worker at ESPN, RG3.
If you're RG3, when is the last time within your household you've had a conversation about what she's dealing with? You haven't been able to do that because in both of your marriages, you've been married to white women.
Oh, okay. Here he goes, doubling down.
When I worked with RG3, he would make all of these sort of corny jokes about milk and how much he loved it and how important it was. And he always points out on social media the color of his wife's skin, as if the color of her skin is what makes her special, as if the color of her skin is what makes her a good wife.
He proceeds to go on and on about RG3's obsession with white women. And that he doesn't have perspective. He always has to trump up and trump up the fact that his wife is white. And Ryan says that means you can't speak on this because you don't know the plight of black women because you aren't there for black women. And then RG3 responds.
All of you know there's a line in life that you just simply don't cross. Wives and children are always off limits. And Ryan Clark has sprinted past that line. Ryan Clark didn't like my sports take that Angel Reese hates Caitlin Clark. And that's fine. It's okay. It's part of the game. Sports media, I'm going to have an opinion. This person might not agree with it. That person might not agree with it. But what you don't do is turn around and personally attack me and my family just because you don't agree with a sports opinion that is purely based off the sport.
He says, you've gone too far, and it's 2 minutes and 30 seconds of, he doesn't warn Ryan Clark, he just says, you've gone to a point of no return.
Oh, boy.
So, what are you seeing as reactions, mostly by black people, right? I mean, a lot of white people are going in
there. Yeah, a lot of NFL players are chiming in.
NFL players.
And I got to say, some are for RG3 and some are for Ryan Clark. They're kind of...
So not everybody's saying that Ryan Clark went too far by bringing that up. Some of them have been basically backing that up. So right. I'll just say this. I've seen a lot of tension on Twitter and between former coworkers and feuds. But that, my friends, was wow.
Yeah.
That was a whole other level of discourse that folks are uncomfortable with. So Ryan Clark said he's standing by it. Says RG3.
This is not over. This is going to evolve. This is getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, it's the whole notion, right? The cultural conversation about interracial marriages and black guys that only date white girls and Ryan Clark calling him out for that and saying you're never there for black women because you clearly don't even have them in your home. So there you go. Meanwhile, what you need to know is that Caitlin Clark is in town on Thursday night.
That's correct.
Which is for us the best way for us to handle this story. You are not going to hear us two sit here and be like, okay.
Me and Steak are white, in case you didn't know.
Yeah, I don't think we're the ones to chime in here.
We'll talk about milk, but it's not going to be in the same reference at all.
Yeah, no, it's chocolate milk in that reference. No, for real, chocolate. And people are saying now that's a great drink, like post-workout and all that. Have you heard that? Like
what? Chocolate milk? Oh, yeah, my goodness.
You heard that too, Bo?
Yeah, it's got protein and a lot of electrolytes, a little bit of fat. It's great.
All right.
You want protein after a workout. And chocolate milk tastes great, yeah.
There you go.
All right.
Is there anything else you wanted to play?
I just want to remind everybody that Brett Favre documentary drops today on Netflix, and the reviews are in. I guess it's titled Untold, but it was very soft on the Urban Meyer ones. They've done five. They've not been breaking news by strict journalists.
Journalists? Yeah,
this one goes there, according to the guy that...
It's not soft at all. Brett Favre did not cooperate.
That's right.
Jen Sturger's in there. Said Brett Favre
ruined
my
life. The Mississippi stuff is in there, all of it. So it's an hour long, so I'm going to definitely watch it.
And is he not diagnosed with a form of Parkinson? Right? Man, oh man. You talk about a fall from grace for that guy. Anyway, let's give the phone number again. A couple of things I want to get to.
404-726-0929.
You got a favorite bench guy in baseball?
Matt Diaz. Remember Matty Diaz? Florida State University's. Love him. Great
guy. Who's the guy that you said stirred the drink for the Braves? Lefty. You just told me the other day. Former Royal, was it? Lefty, white guy, that was always a part of driving the energy for the Braves teams? Who are you thinking of?
Bo has the correct answer.
What Martin Prado.
Martin
I don't know if that's
Prado.
Guy you're thinking of. He's Hispanic, but Martin Prado was the ultimate bench utility guy for the Braves.
Now, that guy more talented than Charlie Culberson, who everybody loves, but he was not as good as Martin Prado. Martin Prado was like a legit professional hitter.
I mean, when we got the Uptons here and we traded away Martin Prado, that was...
No, I got it. It was Hinsky. You were talking about...
Eric Hinsky.
Yeah,
is
that's the
Mac
guy.
Daddy.
Right?
Yeah, he was. That's a good one. Yeah,
another one he always talked about is like, you know, 404-726-0929.
David Ross.
No, David Ross,
great,
for sure. Remember, David Ross gets the start. I believe it was, did he start over Javi in the playoff game and he hits the home run in Chipper's last game? I don't know if I had it mixed up here, but David Ross, I remember talking to him on his way to the stadium when we found out David Ross was going to be starting. He's a great example of a bench guy.
Yeah, I love him.
And he won a World Series in Boston. He's a huge Red Sox legend there. He had a big World Series, I think, against the Dodgers, I think it was. Anyway, really good one. I love the David Ross. Movie that simply you must see in the theater, 404-726-0929. If you're never called three strikes, you're getting on.
I guess you're
right
doing that because of Mission Impossible, right? Like, it's a great thing
Tom
to see
Cruise.
In the movie. Yeah.
So Tom Cruise was in a theater last night. I think it was
New York.
L.A.
It was
in
New
York.
Premiere. Mm-hmm.
All right, because he was on with Fallon. Mm-hmm. Thank you. He sat there talking to these theater workers for 15, 20 minutes. He does a whole bit. Go get your popcorn. Go to a big old theater, sit there, and just have an unbelievable night out. But go to the theater. Go to the theater. He's like pushing hard. That's the way that this film needs to be seen. This is not a film you watch on the back of your Delta flight and with those, you know, somewhat crappy headphones. That is not the way you see a Mission Impossible. Mm-hmm. Safe to say?
I agree 1,000%.
All right. 404-726-0929 if you want to get aboard. We'll take some calls here. Are we going to call? We got about 4 minutes to take calls. So get to Bo, 404-726-0929.
Jock Peterson, these are on Twitter. I put the questions out at SportsSander. Jock Peterson is a great one. Julio Franco, old school, you guys, was the greatest teammate ever.
Oh, my God. He lasted how many? 20-something
years? He's still playing. He's 94.
You just knew if you gave that guy a bat that he has a chance to come up
You're
and have
so
a moment.
Right? Oh, my goodness.
That's a great question to put out there on social
Somebody
media.
Said the meatball sub is a bad sandwich, and that's controversial.
I would just say
meatball sub?
It's not going to make the rest of your day very productive.
Right.
So I'm not going meatball sandwich like I would when I was younger, but I'm not going to call that a bad sandwich. I'm not call a Cuban a bad. I'm trying to think of a bad sandwich. If you don't like tuna, that's a bad sandwich, I guess, right? So egg salad, some might say. NBA Finals.
Okay, yeah, here we go.
I think the Knicks are a great pick to beat the Pacers. The more I think about it, Brad Stevens talked about this in his end-of-year press conference with the Celtics. He talked about, first of all, Jason Tatum had already gone under the knife, had surgery, and was already in recovery the next day. By the time the injury report came out, remember they were like,
yeah, they did.
We'll find out the next
That's
day.
That's exactly right.
By the time they announced it, surgery had already happened. They literally, I think they must have done it that night or in the morning. Like there is a
he
whole
went
thing.
For his MRI and they just did it.
Right there, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's what he said, that the New York hospitals, they were so lucky that this surgeon was ready to go that night and they did it immediately. But what he did say was, he said, I feel like the Knicks are playing with momentum. It's one thing once they won those two 20-point comebacks, but you could see their confidence. The way they looked the other night, the way that Brunson's playing, the way that, you know, Karl Anthony Towns and Josh Hart and Ananobi, like they're playing with incredible confidence. I think they're going to the finals, and I think Oklahoma City beats them in 6 or 7 games. But that's going to be the finals. Oklahoma City and the Knicks will get right to the end, but they will not win the title. Let's go to our phone calls. Jason in Marietta. Hey, Jason, give me a bench player, a favorite.
Favorite bench player would have to be, I think DeRosa was a starter, but that was kind of what
DeRosa's
I was.
No, he wasn't.
A good one.
That's a great one.
I mean, he started sometimes, but no, he was an absolute bench guy. Bad sandwich.
Monte Cristo. It's gross. Be a grown up and get a real sandwich.
I agree.
I don't think you want French toast as your vessel for the sandwich, right?
Right.
And that's what it is. Hey, a movie that you just absolutely have to see in the theater.
You got to go with Gladiator. That opening scene was just absolutely mind-blowing when it came out.
I will say, thank you, buddy. I've never had a better theater experience than seeing Jaws in the theater. You know, back there in the 70s, it was a sold-out theater on a Saturday night, and you see the grandness of that movie, Jaws. Was just unbelievable. Joe and Buford. And they do that a lot. They'll have anniversary showings of Jaws in the theater.
Right.
Hey, Joe, your favorite bench guy in baseball?
In his later years, it'd be Lou Piniella.
Lou Piniella was a starter, was he not?
Yeah, but in his later years, he was a player coach, and he would come off the bench and
player coach for the Reds or the Yankees?
Yanks.
Bad sandwich.
Liverwurst.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
My dad loved Liverwurst.
A movie that you must see in the theater.
Oh, shit.
Drop.
Let's drop that. All right, Joe, and to the audience, it's three questions. We're not trying to bat 66% here. We're trying to answer all three.
Those were good questions, too. I don't know why everybody...
I don't know.
Maybe there's a gas leak on 75.
I've stopped trying to figure this out. Thank you, Bo. Appreciate the help always. Caleb as well, and Alex Anthopoulos. Back tomorrow with Drew Butler. Bye.